Here he is, the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, Ron Wotus.
The professor.
All right. Is he turned? You got that turned on? All right. Professor, get up there. Get into that, man.
Good afternoon, Marty.
Hey, Ron. How are you today?
Good. Very good.
Boy, and I'll just start off. What did you think of the game last night?
Well, I love the result, first off. But, you know, when we fell down 4-1, you knew it was going to be tough to come back with their bullpen. And, you know, we did what we had to do. We scratched out some at-bats. We got a lot of big hits. Sandoval's big hit, obviously, opened things up for us. Joe Panic, a couple doubles later on in the game. But we just strung together some hits, is what we needed to do. We took advantage of some walks and put a lot of runs on the board. So fantastic job by our offense.
Well, what was the attitude on the bench? You're down 4-1. Vogelsong's got to come out. Machi's got to come in. And I'll talk about Machi for just a second. Vargas, bases loaded, the pitcher, and he thinks he walked on the third ball, and I know you guys are looking there. I looked at the Kansas City bench. They were yucking it up pretty good. And then he gets Vargas, and that was a pretty big turning point for me getting out of that inning.
Yeah, it was, because we were already down 4-1 at that point. They had us on the ropes, and if Machi was not able to get out of the inning, and if he walked the pitcher, and then the top of the order came up, there's no telling how many runs they could have put on the board. So that was a huge out. And as you said, they yucked it up pretty good. Yeah. We weren't laughing on our side. We were down 4-1 at that point. And, you know, we wanted to get out of the inning. But we did, and that was the key to limit the damage in that inning and then give us a chance to come back.
Ron, did that chat the Giants a little bit last night when they were laughing at Vargas walking to first base before it was a walk? Chap you a little bit?
Not really. Look, we've been here a few times. What they're going to do, they're going to do. We really don't concern ourselves with it. I know a lot have been made of that on TV and the fans, and good for them. But that's not our place to do it. Look, we're focused on getting outs, executing in the game, and what they do in that situation, I really don't concern myself with.
Okay.
There was a lot of good baseball last night, played by the Giants last night, and I just want to go through a couple of things. Matt Duffy, you can't say enough about him, and you've worked with him quite a bit. He comes up and gets a big pinch hit to start the inning. How about that?
Yeah, no. Again, we were down at the time, and Boach elected to pinch hit in the third inning. He could have saved his guys for later on in the game, but he wanted to put the pressure right back on them and didn't want to give away any outs. And, you know, that was a key in the game because he went up there, got a big knock for us, and we were able to score that inning. Petit was able to stay in. He actually, you know, had a hit one time, which was a great move as well. He ended up getting a base hit.
How about that?
To extend that inning. But he was able to stay in the game, and obviously he made the difference. But Duffy, you know, he puts together a good at-bat off the bench for a guy that only has double-A experience. That's the most difficult thing for a major league player to do is play off the bench. And typically your minor leaguers are used to playing every single day. They don't do that job. Of course, he's done it for a couple months in the big leagues. He's always ready, and it was a big at-bat.
How about the fact that the way he ran to second and Infante couldn't turn a double play there because Duffy was on that outside? What about the inside part of baseball there?
Well, you know, Marty, I kind of missed that. I might have had my head down. I was looking at a stat or something. I'm not sure if I recall the situation that happened.
Well, ground ball to second, and I think Infante looked at second. He didn't think he could throw the ball over Duffy's back.
Yeah.
The way Duffy was running, and he ran where the ball would be coming.
Yeah. Well,
that was smart.
Exactly. It was going to be a close play for Infante, so I'm not quite sure if it was Duffy veering out of the line that caused him not to throw, or he said, I didn't want to risk it. We have a lead here. I just need to get an out. He wasn't going to get two, but you're exactly right. That play comes up a lot when a guy is picked off at first base, or runners on first, ground ball of the first baseman, and the runner's running the second. You're taught to run in line of the throw. So when a first baseman throws it, he hits you in the back.
Yeah.
And we've seen Reggie Jackson do it in with the Yankees years ago, throwing out his arm on a throw. But you always want to try to run in line of the throw if you can.
Boy, Ron Wotus, the professor, is with us. Let's hear it for Ron Wotus again. Let's give him a Let's Go Giants. Let's get it going. Let's Go Giants. Let's give him a few Let's Go Giants here. Good, Woe. It's good. Isn't it great?
It's great to see. They're having a wonderful time. I see a lot of Bloody Marys on the tables, too, and that always helps.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Ron. Hey, let me ask you about your third baseman. Reported that he was pretty ill before the game, had to get an IV, and then he came out and he struggled in his first two at-bats, right-handed, and then he got it done. Tell us about Pablo Sandoval and what he meant for the team last night.
Yeah, he's been battling a little bit of a cold. He felt worse probably 2 days ago. But, you know, there's so much adrenaline at this point in the year. You're playing in the World Series. The IV really helps anytime you can hydrate like that, and the trainers do that over the course of the year. They do it as well when we go to the hot, humid weather so guys don't dehydrate. But that's certainly going to help you feel a little bit better. And once he got into the game, he looked great. He had a lot of energy. He was fired up. The day before, I could tell he was a little bit down. He didn't have the same energy on the field. So thank goodness, because he came through big for us.
Boy, how about the hits right-handed? And, you know, look, we played the game long enough. We understand it. Duffy comes in to turn him around. And you know, Duffy doesn't have the great control that he had earlier in the year. And he gets that hit to extend that inning. And get it to Perez. We'll talk about Perez's sacrifice fly in a second. And then, of course, against Finnegan, two out, he gets the hit up the middle to make it 6-4. So those two at-bats right-handed, what did he do differently?
Well, you know, I mean, every at-bat's different. He was chasing some change-ups earlier in the at-bat, wasn't getting the ball up. And I believe it was a fastball that he got to hit the first time. And, you know, he stayed back and he hit it back up the middle. You know, that's what you do. You got to keep grinding out. You got to make adjustments. You know, Duffy's got a good changeup as well. But he was able to hit the pitch that he could hit, and he didn't miss it, and that was big.
Yeah, all right. The sacrifice fly, and Pat and I talked about it. And I'll be on my honor. I said, put Morse in now.
As did I. I advocated Morse as well.
Get Morse in now for Perez, but you guys didn't do it. You stayed with Perez. What about that decision?
Yeah. Well, it was definitely an option. We discussed it a little bit, and at the end of the day, we decided to leave Perez in there. There was a lot of game left, and, you know, it'll affect the defensive side of the game as we go forward. It was a one-run game, and to Juan's credit, he's been putting up better at-bats, and I think that's the main reason he was left in the game. He hit the ball hard. He had a hit in the game. He's been having some better at-bats, and we stuck with him there, and it ended up working out.
All right, so he hits the sacrifice fly. Dyson, who can fly, comes in. Now, Hunter Pence played it perfectly, and here's the professor. What do? You're on third base, and there's a little pop-up to the outfield. What is Pence supposed to do, and how did it play out?
Well, I know the first thing that was happening was Tim Flannery was probably screaming, tag up, because when a ball's hit like that, your natural reaction is to get off the base and maybe go halfway because it's not deep enough to score. Well, as the ball gets closer to the outfielder, you need to go back and tag, because anytime the outfielder is going to leave his feet or dive, you can score. So it's a tricky play. It's not an easy play. And Hunter Pence read it perfectly, because if he was off the base and in position to score if it drops, he would not have scored.
Right.
So he was off the base. He saw it was going to possibly be a dive. He went back to the base. And as I said, I'm sure Flan was screaming, tag, tag, tag. And both those guys executed that fantastically, and it tied the ball game. And you know, if we don't score a run there, there's no telling how the rest of the game goes.
Boy, exciting. I thought, just to finish that inning, I was glad Crawford struck out to end the inning, because it kept Petit in the game. I'm glad he struck out.
Crawford?
Yeah, it kept Petit in the game. You know, you may have had to hit for him, and then Lincecum may have been in there after that.
Right. Isn't it amazing? I mean, every time this guy gets in a game for us, you know, you just have a good feel about it. He really does give you momentum as a pitcher. He's pitched tremendous, and I was real happy to see him get the win as well in the World Series.
Yeah, look, his three games, Pat and I were talking about, you know, Washington,
massive.
The St. Louis game, and this one. I mean, those are three critical turning point games in a series, and he came up big for you.
Yeah, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. When I say nice, a real professional, quiet, great teammate, always prepared, and it shows by what he's doing. But you know, it's not that easy to do what he's been doing either. We got to say that. I mean, he makes it look easy, and without him, we definitely wouldn't be in this position.
All right, so 11-4, you guys squared it up 2-2, and now it's game 5 tonight. And now, as I say, the fight intensifies. The World Series is a fight. Isn't it like a real fight between two teams?
Well, it is. You know, you got to play every inning of every game, no matter if you're up one, you're down one. It really doesn't mean anything. You know, I mean, the momentum changes every day in a World Series or a playoff situation. Obviously, we want to be up 3-2 going into Kansas City. We don't want to be down 3-2. So, again, we got to come back fighting, as you're saying, be at the top of our game. We can't have a letdown. We have to keep that energy and still grind out every inning to try to get this win.
So the key to the game, your leadoff guys last night scored 5 runs last night. That's a big part of the game. They got it done, got some critical hits. But you stayed away from Herrera and Davis and Holland. And to me, you get into middle relief in baseball, you got it done last night. I guess that you got to make that the key to the game, is to get win it by the sixth inning.
You'd like to do that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, those guys they have at the end of the game are very difficult. And, you know, both the games that we have won now, we were able to get to their middle relief, as you're saying, Marty. And you're right, whether it's the World Series or the regular season, the middle relief usually is the weakest group of the pitchers. You want to keep the best pitchers out of the game. And we'd always love to score first and play from ahead if you can. And, you know, I wish we could just tell the guys that and they would do it, you know, just like that. But it's not that easy. We'll do everything we can to try to get on the board.
Lineup today, and I don't know if the line, you probably have seen it already. I haven't seen it. Oh, you have it with you. All right, so I'll, thank you so much.
Cool.
All right, Blanco, Panic Posey, Sandoval, Pence, Belt, Ishikawa back in there today, okay. Crawford, and Bumgarner. So, again, no Morse. Morse off the bench and present for defense.
Yes, yeah. You know, we've worked so far with Ishii out there, obviously, through this whole playoff run. Morse has done a great job coming off the bench. You know, Shields is out there, the right-hander. So Ishii's going to get to start again, and this is the lineup that has brought us here.
Well, what do you think of this World Series? I mean, you've been through a few. The Angels series, the Giants went up 3-2 and then had to go down to Anaheim and didn't work out. The two other two were easily done, and nothing's easy, but they worked out well. What do you think about this one?
Well, it reminds me more of 2002, as you allude to. You know, we went to Anaheim with a 3-2 lead, had to go down there to win one game. And as we've been just talking earlier, it's never over till it's over.
Yeah.
And you can't relax. You can't exhale. It doesn't matter if you're up 3-2 or down 3-2.
Yeah.
We want to win this game. But really, it doesn't matter. You have to win four. And it's fun to talk about. And we'll certainly be in a much better position if we can win today.
Yeah.
But you have to win four games. And we're capable of winning two on the road. We've done that plenty of times this year.
The Giants, if you guys have employed the sleep doctor, kind of a new age thing, the science of how you sleep, are you guys leaving tonight to Kansas City, or will you sleep here and go in the morning?
Yeah, we're going to sleep here and leave in the morning. We've stuck with that this whole postseason. I think earlier maybe we took one trip at night. But, yeah, that's his belief that, you know, your body clock reacts a lot better and you feel a lot better by leaving the next day. And I think tomorrow we'll probably leave a little bit later. When we came back from Kansas City, we didn't leave there till 12:30. We didn't leave the hotel, which is great because, you know, the guys are up after a World Series game. I mean, they're not getting back to the hotel at 11:30 midnight and falling right to sleep.
They don't?
No, right? So it takes a little time to unwind. So
I don't know.
Leave late in the day, you get a decent night's sleep, and you can sleep on the plane again. And it's worked out, and we've been following that regimen.
And can you feel a difference? Do you personally feel a difference in your body clock?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, when you're up all night, you want to get to the city. But then when you're sleeping and the sun's coming up, you just don't feel as good late in the day. And I think that the 2 days, you get the good night's rest, and you can sleep on the plane coming over. You have a light workout, and you get another good night's rest. So I think it's paying dividends.
Well, what scares you about this Kansas City team today? Bumgarner, he's your guy. It's a World Series where he's really the only one who's, you know, the traditional starting pitcher who goes out and gets it done. 257 innings for him. You have to watch him carefully. Size up this game for me today.
Well, those are all good points that you bring up. Those are things that if things don't go well, the media will look at and say, you know, he's tired or he's thrown a lot. But, you know, the bottom line is we love Bum, obviously. We want him on the mound. He's our guy. We wouldn't want another guy pitching this game tonight. So, you know, for us, we throw that out the window. We just got to play good, clean baseball, you know, and I think throughout the postseason, we haven't beat ourselves. I think one game we did, and we don't want to beat ourselves. Give ourselves a chance to win the game and get the key hits. And with Bum on the mound, you would anticipate, you know, a lower scoring game. But, you know, who can figure out baseball, right? You never know what's going to happen. So we'll take it an inning at a time and play our game.
One last defensive thing for you before we leave it. The double play that Bell turned last night, the one he couldn't turn, but one he did turn, and the one he turned was just, I thought, just slick. That 3-6-3 that got Petit through his last inning.
Yeah, it was. It was a pretty play. I just saw the replay this morning.
Wow.
On MLB before I came over here. And, yeah, you're not going to see it any prettier than that. I mean, Belt took his time, got a good grip, made a perfect throw. Crawl coming across the bag, smooth as can be, and Belt got back. And it was a huge double play in the game with two speedy runners.
Come on, Aoki?
Aoki.
And he had him by 7 feet.
Yeah.
You know, he had him by a lot.
Exactly. In a tie game. And that's what Brandon Belt can do at first base. You know, we don't see it every day, but his ability to make plays at first base pay off. A lot of clubs have guys over there that don't have a lot of quickness, don't have range, don't have the arm that he has. And Brandon's able to turn double plays like that. He's also able to throw runners out on bunts at second base or the lead runner at third base. So he brings a lot to the table as a defensive first baseman.
Well, great to have Ron Wotus with us. You know, I could ask you defensive things all day long. You are the professor. It is Sunday. School is in session. Vogelsong, his play at the bag. And, of course, I watch you guys at spring training all the time. You're supposed to run up the line towards the bag. What happened on that play?
You know, again, that's a that's one of those tweener balls that can be can be difficult. But, you know, the way you want to teach it, when the ball's chopped like that, the pitcher's supposed to take his route to first base to where he has a good angle to touch the base. Yeah. And you don't want the pitcher chasing the ball. So if the ball's hit, you start going back towards second base. Now what happens, you know, the first baseman is taught he has to get the ball. If you're not sure the pitcher's going to get it, you have to go for the ball.
Okay.
So the first baseman's going for the ball, and if the pitcher starts chasing it and he does catch it, there's probably going to be nobody at first base. So you want your pitcher to take more of a direct route. The first baseman will be there. And I think if he would have went a little direct and didn't go for the ball, he'd had a better angle to touch the base and on the throw that Belt gave him. But it's a lot easier said than done because it's a big out. You have a man on third. You throw the pitch. You're off the mound. And you feel you can catch the ball. It's right there. And maybe it's a little further away or a little higher than you anticipate. So, you know, those are plays that are going to happen at time because it's very difficult to be perfect on all those plays every time.
Yeah, no man's land on that one.
It was a very
very tough chopper. Having fun?
When we win, yeah.
Well, Ned Yost said last night that was the most fun he ever had, taking a butt whooping. So, I mean, both teams seem to be having a lot of fun. I know the fans are having fun, Ron.
Well, you got that right. I mean, it's – you know, that's fun for me to see, the excitement in the city. You know, even the players, they have their families here, their parents are here, and that's exciting. I mean, how many players have gone through their career and never had an opportunity to do this? And now we see, you know, guys on our own club like Tim Hudson and people that have not been here, and their families are here, and they're all enjoying it. And, you know, you have to soak it in a little bit. And for me, obviously, this is the fourth one, and the more you go through it, the more you can appreciate being here and have a little opportunity to soak in certain parts of the World Series and the excitement. So, yeah, I'm having fun. It's great being here.
Yeah, good. Well, thank God you're here.
Yeah.
Who would have thought this in the middle of the year, really, that we'd be sitting looking at Game 5 of the World Series?
You're exactly right.
Amazing, amazing. Hey, all hands on deck. Are we at that stage yet with the pitching staff or Bumgarner today, then Peavy, then Hudson, or are we sort of like, hey, whatever it takes to win, we're going to win one?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, we're always in that mode. I mean, even during the regular season, I think even in yesterday's game, if this game would have got extended, you know, you could have seen Jake Peavy in the game if we had to. Not early, but you could exhaust all your other options.
Okay.
I don't think we're quite in the situation where we anticipate Hudson or Peavy or any of these guys to be in the game. I think all hands on deck will probably come more into play when we get to Kansas City in Game 6. Game 6 and 7, that'll be all hands on deck. But, as I said, game goes extra innings. We use our pitching, and we have to make an adjustment. You know, Boach won't hesitate to do what he has to do to win this game, and then we'll make an adjustment for Game 6 and 7.
Wow. All right.
Very good. Hunter Strickland. I know a lot of fans were surprised to see him out there last night. What's that do for his confidence going forward, you think?
It's always important to get back out there when you had a rough inning or gave up some runs, and I think it does a lot for his confidence. And he pitched well.
Yes.
So, being a reliever, too, it's not as easy as it appears. Some of these guys don't pitch for 3-4 days. You have the 5-day, 6-day layoff between the NLCS and the World Series. Now you have to come into a World Series game. You haven't been in live competition for a week. And, during the season, it very seldom happens. So you get a chance to, work out the kinks, get a little work. So it was nice to see him get back in there, get some work, and throw the ball well.
And also to grow up a little more.
Well, he admitted that he let the emotions get the best of him. And, it's a learning experience. He just came up from the minor leagues to a month in the major leagues, and here you are pitching in the World Series.
He ought to be with Finnegan. Finnegan was in humanities class in June, and now he's in the World Series, and this guy was at the Flying Squirrel.
Right.
Now he's in the World Series. It just shows you the craziness of baseball.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Now, how many other guys have done what Finnegan has done?
I think he's the only one.
Zero.
He's the only one.
Yeah,
only one.
Came from humanities and graduation into the World Series.
Oh, good
Not
for him.
Bad. Hey, well, thanks so much as always. Oh. It's great having you here. I'm glad you take the time. And boy, this is very, very exciting. And game fives are great, and they're very famous game five. Don Larson pitched his perfect game in game five of the World Series. There's a lot of famous game fives, but as you say, you win game five, there's still a long road ahead of a World Series for game six and seven if it happens. So we're in a very exciting time right now.
No question. We have we'll focus on today's game, but it's great being here today. Now obviously we didn't think we'd be back on Sunday at the end of the season. Here we are almost a month later, and we have another Sunday in. But I do know this. Next Sunday, there will not be a show, right?
Hey, correct? Don't be so sure of that, Ron.
We may be at the parade. Who knows?
Who knows? Oh, if we are, I'll look forward to it all there, right. Marty. Right. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Let's hear it for Ron Wotus. All right, well. Yeah, sign the table right there for Heritage Salvage right there.
Yeah.
All right, Pat, let's take a quick break. Cool. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.